The president accuses the EU and China of manipulating interest rates and currency and slams the Fed, too. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The president lashed out this morning on Twitter at basically the entire rest of the world. Here's what he said. China, the European Union, and others have been manipulating their currencies and interest rates lower while the U.S. is raising rates, while the dollar gets stronger and stronger with each passing day, taking away our big competitive edge. As usual, not a level playing field. The president went on to criticize, again, the Federal Reserve's raising of rates. The United States should not be penalized because we are doing so well, he said. Tightening now hurts all that we have done. The U.S. should be allowed to recapture what was lost due to illegal currency manipulation and bad trade deals. Debt coming due and we are raising rates? Really? So to unpack all of this, we are joined by Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sabri.
Okay, first of all, China has in the past, almost distant past, manipulated its currency, but it doesn't do it now. But the European Union manipulating currency? Really?
You know, one of the stated goals of quantitative easing, and this was true when we did it, it certainly was true when Japan and Europe did it, was to weaken the currency. The dollar weakened quite a bit. Now, to be clear, Fed officials, Treasury officials, said that a weak dollar was never the primary goal of quantitative easing. But the Europeans have been a little more coy about that. As for Chinese currency manipulation, the Chinese currency is weakening and actually has weakened quite a bit in the past 2 months. Their currency is weakening because their economy is weakening.
Now, let's look at what the president said about tightening, about raising interest rates. The United States should not be penalized because we're doing so well. Tightening now hurts all that we have done. Is that the right way to look at raising interest rates?
Certainly, from the Fed's perspective, what they're trying to do is preserve all that we have achieved in the last 10 years. The issue now is that the unemployment rate has fallen to a, well, practically 50-year low. We're beginning to see some pretty significant wage increases. That's starting to bleed into inflation, albeit at the moment in a very, very small way. But what the Fed is trying to do is just cool things down enough that inflation stays in check.
How do you expect markets to respond to all of this?
With sort of quiet amusement. There is tremendous respect in the markets for the Fed's independence. And, you know, the sense in the markets at the moment is that the Fed will do exactly what it thinks is right for the economy. And that, frankly, they'll ignore any political pressure, even from the White House.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Thank you.
Thank you, Sabri.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
According to recent Labor Department numbers, there are more jobs available than there are people looking for those jobs. This is the first time that's happened since the year 2000. Now, one argument in face of that is to bring in immigrants to fill those extra spots. Another argument is no, don't let immigrants in. Lower the number of immigrants, as the White House would like to do, and wages will rise for U.S. workers. Which one is the right way forward from an economic perspective? We put that question to Giovanni Perry, an economist at UC Davis.
There is no evidence that keeping the supply of workers short, this will increase wages, especially of low-skilled workers, whose number has been actually declining in the recent decades, but whose wages have not grown.
If businesses continue to be unable to fill positions, does that stifle economic growth?
It does, especially if this position are a position of professional, scientist, engineer, high-tech type of jobs. In the last 20 years, the largest inflow of immigrants has been in highly technical, highly professional jobs. This group of workers is really needed for companies to grow because they are the one they introduce innovation, technological progress. They allow a company and a firm to expand, be more productive. And when they are hired, the firm will need other type of workers as well, managers, salespersons, accountants. So constraining that part could put definitely a big constraint and slow down growth of companies and of the whole economy.
If we were to set aside the, you know, humanitarian rationale for accepting immigrants, the ideological rationale, you know, that America is a country of immigrants, if we were to set all that aside and devise an immigration policy based purely on the economic needs of the country, what would it look like right now?
We should be thinking in the future that we want to continue, if not to enlarge, the ability of highly skilled to come and drive and push the American economy, but also find some legal ways for low-skilled workers who do jobs that Americans are moving out of very fast, but that the American economy is still demanding. We should find a way and a program that allow a certain number of these low-skilled workers to come in as long as they have jobs. So fixing the undocumented problem, finding a legal way to increase the number of skilled workers and allowing a reasonable number of unskilled workers to come in should be the policy that we are discussing right now.
Giovanni Perry, professor of economics and chair of the economics department at the University of California, Davis, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.